All right. Welcome back to Table Talk with Rookie's Family. We got a lot of stuff planned for you today. I'm not 100% sure what the agenda is, but we'll get rolling right away here. What's our first thing up?
Well, should we introduce the guests we have sitting at the table?
Oh, yeah, that's
this week?
Special guest.
I honestly forgot about that.
Well, good start. There we go.
You're used to looking at her.
Yes, we have the debut of Haley in studio.
Ooh. Haley, in studio, yes. Second time on the show, first time in studio.
Haley,
yes.
Say hi.
Hello.
There we
Welcome,
go.
Welcome, Haley.
Haley sitting in studio, and we'll be participating today.
And it's June 9th, 2019.
June 9th, 2019. Starting off, what are we going to talk about?
Why don't you guys talk about what you did yesterday?
Yesterday we went to the horse track. Haley
Fun.
And I with a couple of our other friends. And, that was our first time at the horse track this year. I'm a huge, huge horse racing guy.
I love it.
I went to Canterbury Park. Highly recommend it.
Of course.
What else did you see, though, besides horses?
It was horse racing as well as the bulldog races. And the bulldog races were awesome.
How did those work?
Well, okay, they did them. So there's like nine horse races throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And then they would put in like two bulldog races between like every two or three races. They did like two bulldog races. And the bulldogs were massive. Bulldogs are... I've never seen 70, 80 pound bulldogs racing. They are huge.
How do they run?
Fast is how they run. These bulldogs were racing bulldogs. I don't think they're not like professional racing bulldogs. These are just people's dogs.
Yeah.
But for whatever breed of bulldog this is, they have
ready.
The long legs and some of them are 80 pounds.
That's
an 80
crazy.
Pound bulldog.
Wow.
And they're
like mini horses,
30 inches off the ground. So they're not massive.
Right.
Like
short
tall.
Legs.
Yeah.
Just stubby.
But they're incredible.
Don't their short little legs bury into the dirt there?
Some of them, yeah. They would introduce them. You got Paul Allen introducing the bulldogs.
Sweet.
And all of the bulldogs' names were just perfect bulldog names.
Oh, yeah.
They were Frank, Gus,
right. Big Ted,
Bubba. They were the exact name things you would name a bulldog.
But so they don't like open up the gates and the bulldogs go around.
The
How
gates
does that
set up,
work?
They're like kind of stand in front of the gates. And then there's, I don't know, they maybe go 40, 50 yards.
Yeah.
And then one of their other owners will be down at the other end with like a shaking
enticing.
Their ball or toy or something to try and get them down there.
Was our guy PA up to the task?
Oh, yeah.
Calling a different animal?
He did a fantastic job with it.
Do you guys remember going to see him up at in the booth at Canterbury a couple years ago?
I don't remember seeing him. I remember sitting in like the cool
he called the race.
Area, but I don't remember.
Oh,
you maybe stayed with me because I didn't go up either.
Then, I didn't go up.
Oh, was it really neat to see
he's
really cool.
He's just in a small little room, and he's got a little window, and he's got binoculars, and I don't know how he does
that. His mind is able to watch this race, know the names of all these horses that this is the first time he's seen,
right?
And be able to narrate. The amazing part to me is when he can fill in with the other little phrases.
He's coming around the corner.
Like, coming from the back. Throw in like... He gets
like
very creative
like Doc
with
Emmerich
it.
Or
yeah,
like that.
I couldn't even come up with an example. That's how good it is.
That is such an art, and he's been doing it for a long time. And he is a radio competitor, but it's amicable. He's a good guy.
He's
and,
incredible,
and he's always been good to me, so I like him. But I don't know how any race caller can do that.
No.
I mean, not only him, but just all those guys. It's unbelievable.
Well, I think even going beyond that, any sports announcer, like even if you're following a hockey game, like that's confusing. Like the puck's going a million miles per hour around the ice and like trying to follow the puck and say the player's name and what's going on.
Yeah.
Like
it's
any sporting
or,
event
bitters,
is crazy.
Like the Storage Wars people. That are like,
auctioneer.
That's a little different.
Well, and with a hockey or a football, a hockey game, you know, I've seen those guys prep and they know the lines.
Yeah.
So there's some familiarity. But for, like you said, Matthew, for horses, and they're different at Canterbury, and you don't know yet. It's just, it's mind boggling to me.
That.
Yeah.
Constantly changing, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's, that's one of the reasons I like for hockey especially, though, I like watching it on the regional because the announcers know everybody that they're talking
about. Right.
When you watch a nationally televised game, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, and it sucks.
Right.
It's way less interesting.
You don't get the in-depth analogy or the in-depth insight from the national guys, even though I love listening to Doc Emrick.
Yeah, but Paul did a great job on the Bulldog races as well. It was funny. There were Bulldog, like, these were all pretty, like, they were good-sized Bulldogs, but there was a couple of them that just were, they were, like, made to race. There was two of them specifically, like, one in each, two of the races that we saw, where one of them was, he killed the pack, like, really killed them, and we were like, wow, that's a fast Bulldog. And then the next race, the returning, he was the 2017 champ, I think. Yeah. His name is Frank the Tank, and he was just ready to go, but he was calm, and he said go, he shot straight. Most of them are kind of distracted and, like, looking around.
Right.
And just,
it's overwhelming.
Like, running around, but not straight. This guy went straight, and no one was even halfway done by the time he was crossing the line. He was incredible.
Do you think they train him, like, outside, that he's able to?
He's not training for this, but this dog just likes to run.
He gets out of the yard a lot.
Yeah.
He's
probably at the dog park every day running.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're, like, training him to. I don't think you win anything.
Haley, who did you bet on, Haley?
Big Ted.
Big Ted?
Yeah.
Do they take bets on those guys?
No, they encourage side bets.
Yes.
Okay.
We're unsure of the legality of this.
Mythical side bet. Mythical $5.
We'll buy nachos or something like that.
Okay.
But the Bulldog races were fun. And they do that. So the Bulldog races, they I don't remember how many races they had. They maybe had
six heats.
Throughout the time. Those six, I think, go on to race again later in the season. And then all of the, so they do these, like, exotic races all the time. They'll do corgis, they'll do bulldogs.
Ostrich.
Yeah, and then all the dogs, there's, like, a championship dog race on Labor Day in September. Where, the bulldogs race the corgis and the...
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So they're moving on to the next whatever.
So, question, does every dog finish or no?
No.
No.
No. Okay. Some of them don't even start.
Yeah, one of mine does not start.
Hi to other dogs.
Yes. No. And some of them will be, they'll shoot out and they'll make it about 3/4 of the way and then they'll look around like, where is everybody? Yeah. Like, what? And then one of them will just come by and they're pretty funny. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm a little jealous. That would be neat to see.
Yeah. We, overall performance betting on the horses, we didn't do terrible. We only had one winner, but it was enough to, I think we left down $2.
Yeah.
There were horses there too?
Yeah, we were watching the horse races.
The dog races go in between the horse races.
Yeah, they're a little
side
show.
Which was previously stated.
Yeah. I thought you went for a
dog
race.
I wonder if that affects betting on the next horse race.
Like the pigs?
What?
Before, I swear, before, like, the Kentucky Derby, they race pigs.
No.
Maybe not that day. No.
That's
maybe.
Like the Super Bowl. No. Like Jimmy Fallon or someone races
someone
pigs.
Knows.
Yes, that was on the late night show. To determine what horse he should bet on.
Yes.
He
it was the winning horse.
I'm saying if you're at the track and there is horse race and then you're watching a dog race, if it affects how many people go and bet for the horses or if they're too caught up in the dog race and then they don't get the bet in for the next horse.
No, there's enough
so
time.
Much time, yeah.
Okay.
There's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, you also disclosed your budget to me. Your betting budget as you went there, and I thought it was a little low. Do you want to alert the listeners to what your budget was?
$2 bet on wins. I don't mess around with your exacta. I don't do any of the show place. None of that
crap.
Nothing
to box.
I'm looking for a win.
Yep.
$2 bet on wins, and I usually don't exceed $20 bet.
Got it.
Typically,
when you said my betting
budget,
the whole day,
not in a single race.
Folks, got his first nickel. He's the cheapest SOB I've ever met in my life.
And if Haley and I are both betting, it'll be more $20 per person because there's usually 9 races. I'm betting $2 a race, so $18 to $20.
That's what's great about you think about going to the track, you think, oh, I'm going to lose. You're not. It's still the buildup is what you get the butterflies and the thundering, horses running around. And even though you have a $2 bet on a 10-to-1 horse, come on, go.
Exactly. It's still fun, even if you're not betting the big money. It's still fun, even if you have your $2 bet. Oh, I won. And you won, $4 or whatever?
I think I had a $2 bet, paid out $14.
Yeah.
So, that's good.
It was my only win of the day, and it pays back most of the money you spent.
Except and for the food and the drink and everything else.
I'm just talking the betting. We also paid to get in. We got drinks and
but
ice
it's
cream.
Funny, how arrogant are you, though, to think that you can go to the racetrack without studying?
Oh, no, and, I was good by
bet,
the end.
No, but and bet big money. I mean, you were smart. Yeah. You played it right. But the people that think they can go there to make money, and I'm going to put $25 on horse number 7 to win, you have no business if you don't do your homework.
Yeah, it's... The nice thing about horse racing is they do give you a lot of information to base your bets off of. You just need to know how to interpret the information.
Yeah, are they telling me the real deal, or are they telling me this and then
they're
going
not
to bet
fudging the numbers? Because any horse can still win the race.
The racing form is accurate.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I know it is.
Yeah,
sure it is. Of course it would be.
The last race though, I was between the 6 and the 3 horse, and I decided to go on the 3 horse, and it was a photo finish. Between the 6
really?
And the 3
oh.
horse.
Oh.
And the 6
See,
horse won.
You could have boxed those. And
right.
Yeah, I know. I should have taken a 6-3 and a 3-6, but I decided to go with the 3 horse, and it was a photo finish, and the 6 horse won it.
Did the people you go with, were they big bettors or no?
Yeah, they lost a lot more than we did.
Yeah, a lot more. Why does that not surprise me?
And then they decided to take a whack at, hey, we can win it back with blackjack.
No.
Turns out you cannot just win it back.
Wait, they were up. And
that person once, when we went before, went and won back his money playing blackjack.
He was certainly up.
He was.
Yeah.
By the end of it, he was not.
Okay. So I was like, he's done that before, and it actually worked in his favor.
Yes, he did a good job, though. But
well, I'm glad you had a good experience.
Canterbury is awesome. Fun. They do a great job. The total attendance there yesterday, 17,000 people went.
Holy buckets.
We got there like halfway through, so we weren't there for the whole day. Which, by the time we were getting there, a lot of people were actually leaving, which was really nice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Memorial Day weekend, they do more events. 17,000 people went to it. And it's a big track, but still, 17,000 is a lot of people to be there.
That is good, because it's the local owners and that whole, they've struggled over the years, but I think they've got a pretty darn good business now, right now, and they've got a great product. And
it's actually fairly affordable once you're in it, too. Drinks weren't crazy expensive.
No,
the food is reasonable, especially Thursday nights now.
Okay.
Our Buck Night, where you get in for $1. Some of the drinks are $1. Hot dogs are $2, where you can really have a very cheap night.
Well,
that's really fun.
Yeah.
Is Sunday still a family day at Canterbury?
Yes.
If you have never
17
been,
and under get in free.
Okay, if you have never been and you'd like to bring the family, the young kids, there's always something to do. It's fun to go back in the paddocks area and watch the horses come in, and it's just really neat, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff to do. So Sunday is the day to bring your family out, because there's other activities.
Yeah, highly recommend it. A lot of fun.
All right, well, that sounds pretty good. Let's, since we're talking dog races, pig races, and everything else, why don't we get to the Belmont? The Belmont was run, and, of course, we did not have a Triple Crown winner this year, but we had 3 extremely interesting races. We've already talked about the Derby. We've already talked about Preakness. Belmont was yesterday, and it was another close race. Your thoughts?
Down to 10 horses only. Small field.
Small field, and that's the longest race, so those horses at the end are going, what in the hell is this thing going to end? I liked the fact that, it was the winner who won the, I'm drawing a complete blank here, and I wrote it down, Sir Winston.
Oh, this race, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
War of Will won the Preakness.
Yep.
And was running in this race as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Sir Winston kind of moved out in front of him.
Yeah,
a little
he was
bit.
At 10-1 odds.
Sir Winston was, yeah. You're right, Sophia. Very good.
Yep. Excellent. I didn't know that you were into horse racing like that.
I'm a huge horse racer girl.
Trainer Mark Cassie, who won the second leg of the Triple Crown with War of Will. You won 2 out of 3 at 2 different horses. But the Sir Winston is named after Winston Churchill.
Of course.
Of course. Isn't that neat?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think looks like it was a pretty clean race. There was a minor bump, but
yeah.
He made such a great move and ended up being the winner. And I love watching horse racing, and to see, it's done in 2.5 minutes or whatever it is. The horses are beautiful. It's colorful. It's always fun. The crowd shots and all that. I wish I had enough money to own a horse.
Oh, you
and
always
race.
Say that.
I do, or at least go there. I'd like to go to one of those 3. The Derby, yes, for sure. But I think, is it easier if you go to the Belmont or Preakness and, all the hullabaloo is over because everybody wants like to go to the Derby. Yeah, the hype. Mm-hmm.
Not if there's a possible Triple Crown winner.
True, and this was, again, this one, we had a jockeyless horse in the Preakness, mm-hmm. and we had some jostling around in the Derby, and now it's all done, and these horses are going to retire. And
that's kind of the end of our horse season. As Gabe has said, we talk about horse racing too much, and we kind of do, but now it'll be over, so Gabe won't have to worry about that anymore.
That is so weird that we talk about horses so much.
Well, I think, again...
Races are fun.
Yes, it is fun. And, you know, running out to the track to spend a couple of bucks, even if you have a $20 budget, but it's all good. So congratulations to Sir Winston on a fine win at Belmont Park. Mame?
I stumbled across this article from a website called Pop Sugar, and it has, like, a bunch of different categories to find different news articles on, not so much news articles like current events, but like
it's pop
lifestyle. Yeah, pop culture. This one's from the family category, and it's a mom of three teenage boys, and she has decided to make comics about teen behaviors and their tendencies. So we'll make sure to post these so you guys will be able to see. But she's done quite a few. One of the first ones says Teen's Greatest Hits. So it's like music.
Album cover.
Yeah. And it says classic favorites including You Don't Understand and Never Will, But Everyone Else is Allowed to, and the ever popular I'll Do It in a Minute.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I heard that. I don't know how many. Just give me a second. What are you doing?
I'm busy right now. Just give me a minute.
And I would always say, it does. I don't care. I don't want to hear about anybody else. I only care about you. I don't care if other people are doing it.
Mm-hmm. And when do you start as a parent? Do the obligatory, if they jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff as well?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That is a classic parent line, and it's so stupid.
Why would you jump off a cliff?
It is.
Because somebody else didn't want to be like that.
What? It's, like, hypothetical. Oh. Like, if someone's doing something bad, would you do it too?
Oh, like the kids doing
like
it.
Like, if Wack was doing something bad, and then you wanted to follow.
Yeah.
She's never done anything bad in her life, though.
Yeah, we're angels.
We never had to say that to Sophia.
Right.
This is a funny one, and it for sure applies to some of the youngest person in the family. Children, oh mine, here's a toughie, and it has an empty box of Chex Mix.
Okay.
You've just eaten the last of the cereal. Do you put it in the trash or return it to the cabinet?
It's like a little quiz.
Yes. And it says, the return to the cabinet, it says hint, wrong.
Nope.
Gabe does that all the time.
He does it with ice cream. Yes. Yeah. And he'll leave one spoonful.
Yeah.
Literally, like the teeniest bite left, and it's in the freezer. So you get excited and you open it up and it's a bite.
Yeah. Or the all-time worst thing that Gabe does. Other people do this too. He'll take Lucky Charms, eat all the marshmallows, and return the cereal with no marshmallows back to the cabinet.
That is not Gabe. That is me.
Confession. Okay. I got it now. Here it is.
Sophia.
Well, I love those things.
Devil act. That's what the devil
I think that
do.
Applies to 20-year-olds, too, because my brother does the same thing. So it doesn't end.
That's
it's
a horrible thing.
It's just so
thing.
Easy. Just put it away. Throw it away when it's done.
Well, my thing is, he's in the kitchen. The trash is like 10 extra steps. Just take that last bite and throw it away.
I don't
away.
Think anything in our steps. Kitchen is 10 steps. Yeah,
it's like 2 steps away.
We got a massive kitchen.
That's fair. That is fair.
What else?
This is along the same lines while you're looking for another one. On Mother's Day on Facebook, someone had posted a big poster, and it was in pink on top. It said, "Stuff you ask mom. What time is it? What's for dinner? How come? Why not? When's it my turn? Can I have more? Where is it? Will you read this to me? Can I watch TV? Can I play with this? Do I have to go to bed? Stuff you ask dad. Where's mom?"
Yep. Yep. Yes. Isn't that the truth?
That is so, I saw that. I just thought it was so funny, so clever.
And mom has definitely complained before. Why don't you ever ask dad? Yeah. Why didn't you ask dad?
It's like,
what does dad
a
say?
A lot of times or dad
sometimes
isn't
I'll be
sure.
Man, thanks, mom. Please come and help.
Right. Go ask your mom. Go ask your mother.
This one's funny. It's needs versus want. So one column says food as a need. And then the other column as a want is specific food you're in the mood for right now.
OMG, the fights we have about food.
I think that's probably a need.
Or clothing is the need. The want is that one shirt you saw at that one store.
No.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Shelter is the need, the want. Awesome movie / video game setup with a good couch.
That's Gabe.
Yeah, literally Gabe.
Gabe goes to a cabin with Xbox in hand.
Right.
Now, I wonder how many Xboxes went to the cabin.
Yeah. He,
literally.
He went up to a cabin with an Xbox.
Yeah. My brother brings his PlayStation back and forth to school.
Oh, that's like, we're going to Florida, why? And Gabe's like, I got my Xbox, and we're all like,
That's the last thing
I'm planning to be
to
on the beach.
Yeah. need for emotional support. The want is a parent's undivided attention at this moment.
Yes.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think that is fair. That's a good
one. As if you're the only one in the universe.
This last one is very funny. The need is medical care. The want is a day home from school because of gas pains.
Ew.
How
clear.
No, yeah. Like, how? Like,
this yeah. is so no. real.
It's like, guys, no. relatable, right?
Like, how realistic the need is a day home from school, and you're like saying you want it because you have bad gas pains, but you don't what? Have gas pains if you're being realistic.
I'm so confused on that.
I feel like this means you do have bad
no,
gas pains.
No, you just want the day off of school. And you're
then why
lying.
Do you have to add the gas
yeah,
pains?
Right. Just say a day home from school. That's yeah. what you want.
The,
yeah.
one of Sophia the lied about staying home from school all the time to miss
that's,
a test.
That's my business with mom and dad.
One of the funniest, though, is when they come to the kitchen or the living room and try to get the brow is very low and, oh, I just have the worst headache. Yes. And then you're upstairs and you're on your computer or watching television yeah. with this horrible headache where you can't even see the downstairs.
Did you ever do the hold the thermometer up to a light bulb?
Yes, all the time. No.
What? Name that
people
movie.
Who are trying to stay home,
oh, is it from a movie?
Get a heated blanket, put the thermometer in it. You'll have like 101 degree temperature.
What movie is that from? Who knows?
It's a horror movie.
I'll be quiet.
Maybe it's in that. Thank you. Yeah, E.T. That's what I was thinking, but she might do it in the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Oh,
she does in the
she
hotel
does
room.
In Rome.
But yes, yeah.
Those are the old school mercury thermometers. I don't think you can get that on the digital now, can
no,
you?
Can
you
do it
through
digital?
Well, I think that the heated it. Blanket would work on a digital
yeah,
thermometer.
The heated blanket works.
Up to a light bulb would not produce
you know,
many results.
They should.
I can tell from experience yeah. it doesn't do much.
You know, I think we should go retro. There's a lot of things that grow retro. We should bring back the old school two options for the mercury thermometers. Do you know what those two options were to take your temperature?
Dad, you're yeah. disgusting.
Yes.
No.
No. One was in your mouth.
And the other
and the
one
other
wasn't.
One
and the other one was not.
What?
Yeah.
Oh! Ew.
Let me take your temperature. Let's do the mouth one
yeah.
this time, okay? Yeah.
No, so, all
that's
I
like
want to know is,
abuse.
What did the last person do?
Right. It better be out of the box.
Once one person doesn't choose mouth, the mouth option's kind of out.
Yeah.
I know someone who chose the other option for their infant, and they took it out, and it was a broken thermometer.
Oh,
that's got to be like super
yeah.
dangerous.
What happens? Wow. Yeah.
Like glass?
Yeah, you
yes.
say,
in...
go get your mom. She's going to have to get the glass.
That gives you like chills. I don't
what, did they have to go to the emergency room?
I wish I remembered.
What
I
were
don't.
They doing that
oh,
it broke?
Gosh. Do we might need to call this person.
Or I think they didn't know if they had inserted it. Broken.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know.
Oh, oh the poor no. baby. Oh,
stop. God. Stop crying. I gotta get this done.
Oh my God. I hate that you just had to bring that up.
Also, mercury Sorry. Poisoning. Like.
It's not me.
Good. Yeah. Jeez. Isn't mercury really bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't be exposed to it.
Yeah. They used to play with
but
it.
But this child is still alive today. Correct.
Yes.
All right.
A full grown adult.
I guess that's all that really matters.
And not in this room.
Wow, well, we really took a little turn there for, huh? But that's what they did way back when. Yeah.
Oh
I remember the good old days.
You did.
Oh, my God.
And I never thought to ask Matthew's question. Hey, Mom, what was the choice last time with
yeah.
this one? That should be A or B.
Doesn't care what you want. What did the last person do?
Oh, my gosh. God. That's
okay. Speaking, is our next thing the news topics?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's please transition.
Right, well, Haley's... An article leads into this perfectly.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
So I think we should just start with that.
Okay. Well, the title is This robot scans preschoolers' faces daily for signs of sickness.
What? Oh.
Yes, it happens in China.
Classic.
Robots named Walk Lake. Huh? And every day that kids go into school, they like it alerts a teacher if there's signs of an illness.
Weird.
Isn't it's so weird.
Is it to determine not spreading sickness or not getting out of school? Okay.
It's preventative. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't want kids spread. Because in China, I'm sure there are no try and stay home sick days.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's they need to send kids home if they're coming to school sick.
Because you don't want
there's
them
so
in
many
school.
Right. Too.
Well, and a lot of times they wear those face masks too.
Yeah, they do. Do like the
so,
I bet
which are proven not to really stop the germs.
Yeah, like they never help.
Whenever I see someone with those on, I'm always like,
stay away.
Beware. If they look that up, it really doesn't.
Hey, doc.
The doctor, yeah,
it's the robot like security. In order to go into class, you have to stand in front of it, or
like
it just hangs around.
No, no, no. Going into school every day, they're tested.
Like the sick kids are trying to dodge.
Right.
The robot.
Yeah.
And parents are probably trying to figure out a way to cheat the robot. Yeah. Like they know their kid's got 102 degree temp, but they've got to go to work.
Right, yeah, hold an ice pack on them.
That is so interesting.
No more mercury thermometers, though.
Well, in China, they probably do.
Yeah. Just a robot.
Do they? I wonder if they have like the same vaccine stuff that we have here, like where it's really intense, or.
I'm sure they must because it's such a large population.
They probably have more.
Yeah, it spreads right. So fast.
Exactly. You know, that could be really bad.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I think that's a good thing, though, that the robot. It sounds like even if that technology exists, it's a good.
Well, I don't know how many Catholic schools would be into that.
Well, they said here, like, privacy. There's a lot of privacy concerns with all this.
Yeah, so. And I would be at the nurse sometimes at school, and kids would come to me, and, nope, their temp's not over 100. They're not going home. I think they're 99.9. I'm calling the mom. I'm going to ask her. I know her. And I'd go, do you want them to come home? Yes. Like, I'm not sending a kid back to class with a 99.9.
You feel the same with that as you do with 100.
Right. Yeah. I'd go to the nurse at in high school, and I'd say, I don't feel good. And she'd be like, just lay down. I'll give you some medicine. And I'm like, nope. I'm going home. You can call my mom. I'm leaving school. Thank you, though.
Yep.
You have to be assertive.
I don't ever remember going to the nurse's office once.
I'm sure you did.
I was deathly afraid of the nurse's office.
Why?
Yeah. Because I'm afraid of people throwing up. And so I would be so, like, sick, you know, in class, and I wouldn't go.
I didn't have any problem.
Unless I was really, really sick and I really needed to go home, then I would. And I would just tell the nurse, I need to go home.
I was in there once, and a little girl came in, and she had thrown up all down the front of her jumper.
Nope.
And that was the first time I ever had to deal with that. And I looked at her, I said, honey, you have shorts on, right? She goes, yep. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I just unzipped her jumper and put
right
it
in
a bag. I'm like, the parents can deal with that when they pick her up. I'm not trying to clean her up at all.
Isn't that a general rule of thumb, though? You start, it's like at night when we've told you kids, you don't have to, when you were little, you don't have to come in and tell us you feel like you're going to throw up.
Yes.
Go to the bathroom.
Just go.
We're going to hear
we'll
you.
We'll hear you.
And that's the same at school. Don't wait until the teacher said, I think I'm going to have to. Just go to the bathroom and throw up.
I am someone that threw up at school in third grade. But no, I was not that kid.
No.
Just you wait. So I wasn't feeling well, and I told my teacher that I just had an upset stomach. So I went down to the nurse, and the nurse, I was there. She gave me crackers. In third grade, I loved my teacher. I didn't want to miss school. So I was like, okay. And I went back up to the classroom, was doing whatever we were doing. And then I really was like, I still don't feel good. I need to go down to the nurse. I walked downstairs to the nurse, and I'm like, I'm going to throw up in the hallway. I ran to the garbage can. I threw up in a garbage can in the hallway, and I'm like, one of my claim to fame is like, I threw up at school, but I wasn't that kid that threw up all over their desk.
What a claim to
fame. I made it. Because I wasn't by a bathroom, and I was like, I'm not throwing up in the hallway. I was like,
and no one saw you, though, either. So that's.
But instead, please note, I loved my third grade teacher so much, I didn't go to the nurse after that. I went up and I told my teacher, I'm like, I just threw up in the garbage can downstairs.
Oh,
and she's
gosh.
Like, okay, I'll come
sure
down and
did.
Walk you to the nurse. And, and then she like bagged it up and walked me to the nurse.
No,
but
someone did that. Someone came back and said that they had thrown up. And I remember my heart just stopped. And I was like, oh my gosh, this person just threw up. Like,
well, they've already
they
thrown
could
up,
do
though.
It again, like right by me.
Unlikely.
Well, have you ever been in a class where someone throws
yep,
up
right yeah. behind no. me?
Yeah, and then they have never. To put the stuff
grade,
on the carpet.
Second grade.
But,
that's called
or in
basically
church.
Kitty litter.
It's called mishap. Yeah. Yeah, there's a name for it. It's yeah. called mishap.
And they have to go and get trained how to use mishap.
Nope. Yeah. Nope.
Like only certain people are allowed. Yeah.
Man,
usually
I guess
the
I'm not certified
are
in that.
Allowed to do it.
Shoot.
Bill, it's your turn. Yeah, yeah you got to do that.
Actually, oh my gosh. Well, Haley's story led to a huge conversation. Does anyone else have a news story they want to share?
I do. Oh. Mine's not as light an area as that. So in Castle Park, which is in Riverside in California. Okay, no to neither of those. There was a log ride.
Oh.
And uh-oh. It malfunctioned and flipped over.
Oh, oh my God.
They had a mechanical problem. No, with the water pump. It just, the thing like flipped over. I don't know. They didn't say it. If it was the side or what, how it happened. And the mom was critically injured. They did not say what happened, how she was critically injured. And the husband and son that were on there, they just had minor injuries with some cuts and scrapes.
Jesus.
So that led me to think about the Mall of America log shoot.
Yeah.
And so I went back and looked up the Mall of America log shoot. And because I remember that there were some incidents that happened there.
Yeah. Yes.
So in 1998, there was a little boy that was on the log chute. And right, so if you've been in the Mall of America, they have that big drop right at the end.
Right.
And the little boy started to freak out at the top. And he's like, oh my God, oh my gosh. And he tried to stop by grabbing onto a railing, but he lost his grip. And he fell, and the operator was trying to stop the ride because he could see that the little boy was starting to panic, and he couldn't stop it in time, and the little boy fell out of the car and hit his head on the rocks.
Oh, so sad.
And that was the first fatal incident at the Mall of America where someone died on one of the rides, and that was 1998. And then in 2007, the conveyor belt malfunctioned, and logs crashed into each other, but that just had minor injuries, and no one was severely hurt. But then I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm ever going on log chute rides again. I mean, not that that happens very often, but still.
Just don't
freak
out.
Of that thing with that ride is you're not restrained
strapped
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just sitting in that thing. So if someone does freak out, it's very probable they are going to try and get out of that.
Kind of seems like a pretty simple solution of let's add some restraints.
Exactly.
Some
a little seatbelt. Yeah.
You're locked
and
in.
And that also, I think people freak out because you're not strapped in and then you're like, oh my God, this is a huge drop. I'm not strapped in. I'm going to fall
it's
out.
Wet.
Yeah.
Wet. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so you panic and unfortunately.
That is a weird concept that you're not restrained at all.
I think they think gravity is going to.
Some parks they have a little, like I've had some, in Six Flags in Atlanta. Yeah, they have like something on,
yeah,
on top.
Yeah, I feel like, when I was down in Texas at a Six Flags, I think we went on one that had restraints. I think
well,
it had a bar.
Sense.
Yeah, they have the handles on the side.
Like yes, they do.
They do have the handles on the side, which, and usually, you know, there's four or five people in there. So when you go down, there's really nowhere. Your instinct, if you're on there alone, is that you're going to slide up. You're going to slide up and fall. But if you're, because the flume at Valley Fair and the Bunyan
log ride.
Do scare me. And every time I took you kids on there, I'm afraid of rides, but I still would go. I always thought I got to hang on to these kids because I don't want anybody flying out. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point because the Mall of America one, it's long and skinny. So you're put in there one in front of the other where some of the other log rides, the boats are wider so they can have those bars in there. So for Mall of America, they would have to put like individual seats in a row with seatbelts. So I think that's why they don't have any strap because they couldn't do it with the current chute logs they have right now.
But also the concept of those rides, I already know what I'm getting into, so it should not be, you know, it should not, you should know at when you hop on there, if you're going to get freaked out, don't go.
As an adult.
Just don't ride.
As an adult, though, but if you're an 8-year-old little boy and you're on there and your parents aren't with you, you're with your siblings or this boy was with his cousins, and you're not with a parent, your parents give you that sense of security. So if you're on there with your little cousins and you're like, holy crap, we're all about to die. And there's no one there to call me or hold you in.
Jimmy, hang on to Albert, okay? Let's not let him.
I'm trying to get out.
Right, right.
So on that note, somebody has something a little bit lighter.
I do.
All right, let's hear it.
In typical mom fashion. So mine is a little story about male swimwear.
Oh, God.
And in particular, the Speedo.
Yeah.
We all knew.
That's gross.
The infamous male bikini.
No.
Yes.
No.
And the new fashion trend.
It's not.
What do you do?
The Jado.
What's the Jado?
It's a Speedo lookalike for the summer trend that no one asked for, but everyone is talking about.
Is it a jean Speedo?
This viral swimsuit is not actually made of denim, though.
Yeah,
the details look so real, you could have fooled everyone. So it is a Speedo that looks identical to denim.
No.
And that's a new hot trend.
What?
Is it?
Yeah. Apparently. Maybe in Europe, they think it's cool to get some Levi look-alike Speedos.
That one I'm going to cancel.
It's it's spelled
for your birthday.
J-E-A-D-O.
This thing right
here. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No. Do you see what they're calling it?
The dong trend.
Oh, my God. Oh,
no. No. That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Why are you looking
this
up on your phone?
Yeah, what are you doing?
God. I thought that was fun, and I was thinking maybe Matthew and Dan and Gabe would be interested in some swimwear.
Probably not.
Isn't that what they wear in Europe?
You know what's funny?
Not me.
The other day, I was getting some of my clothes ready and whatnot, going through stuff in my closet, and I did find my swimsuits
St. Thomas.
From high school swim, and we did, in fact, have Speedos for that, and I was like, what do I do with this? I'm never going to wear it again. I just throw it away, I guess? I don't know what...
Give it to Gabe.
No, give it to Shamrocks. Like, Pat Mancini's got his Speedo at the
you
Nook.
You could sign it.
I don't know what to do with this Speedo. Like, I'm not going to...
I don't think you have to gift it. I think you just maybe just tuck it away.
Who would like this?
Right. Yeah. It's not going to be used again.
Goodwill?
Right. Yeah, I think
donate it. That's a no-go, D.
Well, I thought it was a little more fun and uplifting.
No, it is.
Oh, definitely is.
You're just canceling that.
But I don't want to see any boys in our family wearing
if
that.
If it didn't exist, I'd be fine.
I don't think you have any boys in this family that are bold enough to do that, so there's no...
No,
there's
I have no desire to wear that.
Who's up?
I can do mine.
Oh, go ahead, Matthew.
All right, McLaren, mine's geared towards you.
Oh, boy.
It is a Wall Street Journal article by Beth DeCarbo. The title is Charging Rent When Your Adult Kid Moves Home.
Matthew.
Ooh. Oh, are you literally kidding me?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Tell us more, Matthew.
The article says, it's graduation season again. College students will don their best flip-flops to walk across the stage and accept their diplomas.
Nah, not really.
Then they're ready for their next big move back home. For more than one-third of young adults, those between ages 18 to 34, they have lived at home in 2015. I don't know why they're citing 2015. So 33% of ages 18 to 34 live at home.
Okay.
That's up from 26% in 2005.
Wow.
Many parents don't charge rent to their returning children, but some financial experts say they should pay their share of the real estate. By collecting rent, you're teaching your kids to budget and to prepare for life, says Kim Lu Tu, a private wealth advisor with Ameriprise, who specializes in generational wealth planning. So it goes on to explain why it's a good thing and whatever. Get them ready for when they do have legitimate rent payments. And then it gives some tips on how to go about implementing this.
Okay.
So let's see. The first one, it says Kim Lu Tu recommends asking for a percentage of the child's take-home pay, anywhere from 10 to 30%.
Absolutely not.
Depending on the child's current income and debt.
Okay, well, I got a lot of debt.
Here's my feel on this. I wouldn't charge you rent, but I have said I think it's a good idea to say, like, I am charging you $200 a month. And you pay me the $200 a month that I set aside
for me
and keep for you so that when you are ready to move out, you have a whole bunch of money to move out with.
Because we all know how my saving money goes.
Right. I think that's a good idea. I would never keep the money and use the money, but
I think
if I could hand you, you know, a couple thousand dollars to move out with, and, you know, here's your rent or a start of a down payment or something.
Here's what I get, like, if I'm, oh, God. This hopefully is not the case. But if
I'm going to cry.
No.
No, I really did.
If I'm 30 and still living at home, which I, like I said, better not be the case. Whoa. But then I could see you charging rent. But a lot of kids.
Yeah, honey.
Let me finish. Letting me finish. But most kids, when they graduate college, can't afford to live by themselves because of debt. Their job, I'm going into a profession where I make like $0. So I would not be able to afford rent regardless if I moved out right now.
You'll be able to afford rent. It just can't be like in downtown Minneapolis.
Well, then
in uptown.
We all know I'm not going to do well in a ding ding apartment. So I'd rather save up my money. And move into something nice.
So pieces of advice. It says, beyond room and board, parents and children should decide how other expenses will be paid.
Such can as you please keep your mouth quiet
car
and stop reading this
health
stuff.
Insurance and student loan repayment.
I can be persons.
Other expenses should be covered. This is a good rule of thumb without parents having to dip into their own retirement savings. Number three, in addition to rent, adult children should be expected to help out around the house.
Adult children. Can we first talk about how they're referring to me as an adult child?
You are.
Yeah, you are.
Adult children.
Baseline duties involve keeping their spaces clean and doing laundry and dishes. Ask for help with routine maintenance and upkeep as well. Things like yard care, spring cleaning.
I'm the one that helps out the most at home.
Yes, she does.
So
I cannot complain about that. She makes the biggest messes, but she also helps more than anyone else by far.
The last piece here. Spell out.
Yes, Sophia, you don't help at all.
I give you happiness.
Spell out in advance the repercussions of failure to pay the rent.
Oh, shoot.
Options.
Yeah, it'd be done.
Ask the child to work off the balance in some way.
I'm picking up dog poop.
I'll work off lots of balances.
Review the child's expenses, and if a reasonable explanation exists, consider lowering the rent.
These parents are a little harsh.
Suggest a part-time job to cover the shortfall.
I already work three jobs. I'm not taking up another job.
Give at least a month's notice if you're considering asking the child to leave.
To
allow ample time to find a safe, affordable alternative.
If a parent ever did that to their child for like that reason, that'd be ridiculous.
The thing is here, it says, in order to allow ample time to find a safe, affordable alternative. If there was a safe, affordable alternative to begin with, they probably wouldn't be at home.
Exactly.
Right. Like they would have done it already.
Yeah, they would not be there. So that is the Wall Street
Journal. Could you forward that to me, Matthew, please?
Thank you. I'm not saying that if I live at home next year that I would even want it to be everything free. Like, you guys have talked to me about, like, car insurance and stuff a little bit.
Ooh.
And I think that maybe I could pay, like, a little bit and help a little bit. Maybe
Speaking
not
of which,
the full thing.
If anyone's
but, like,
looking for a car, have
you got one
available?
For sale? Okay, good.
But I think that, you can assume responsibility, but I think charging your kid rent, like I said, unless I'm 30 and still living at home is unreasonable because obviously I would love to adult and live in my own place, even though I have bad FOMO. But I think that, like, I'm at home and I like being at home because you guys are good parents, but I can't afford to pay rent, which is why I'm living at home. Like, I'm not making big bucks even though I work a lot, so I don't know.
The money must be going somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know where it goes. For some reason, it just, like, walks away.
Like Louis Vuitton purses or something. I don't know.
It did not do that.
I will say this, though. We enjoy having you guys at home. The article you have sounds like all those parents are like, let's go. We'll help you, but get out. Yeah. But we don't. I mean, I lived at home until I was 25, until we got married. I never moved out until we got married, and I was 25. So you got a couple years there.
I've got like one year then, and I have no significant other. So.
No, you're not with me.
Get busy.
We'll live in an apartment together.
Whenever you're ready with your one job over there.
All right. Who else has an article?
I do have one. And this, I know that Memorial Day has passed, but yes. I caught on close to, I did see something that was really neat, and it was Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has set up on Memorial Day in many of their restaurants. The National League of POW and MIA Families call it a missing man table.
Oh, yeah.
It's typically, it's part of the ceremony where somebody reads a script explaining the meaning of every item at the table. And they have a flag there, a white tablecloth for the purity of the service members' motives in serving their nation, a pinch of salt for the tears their families shed, and an empty chair that will never be filled. And that ceremony started at many Chick-fil-A franchise owners. And it's not really a news story, but it's something that I missed last week, and I wanted to just say how cool
Chick-fil-A
is that.
So Chick-fil-A is open on Memorial Days, I wonder?
That I don't know.
Branching out on that, I saw that London Byerly's in Highland Village also had that same table inside. And then Mall of America in the Rotunda, they had a bunch of dog tags of Minnesota military
soldiers.
Yeah, and they also had a table, that same table. I've never seen really that table in the past, and this year I saw it. I didn't know Chick-fil-A was doing it, but I saw it at Mall of America in Lund's.
That's really cool. I've never heard of that.
I like that trend.
I couldn't help but think, like, are they gonna put like a sandwich on the table? I thought they were going to go through like each item on the table, and it was like a Chick-fil-A number one, like, a lemonade.
Some fries on the side. Yeah. But, you know, Chick-fil-A is always in the news for, you know, people are protesting or they're opening a new one. It's always good and bad. But I just thought that was a really neat tip of the cap. I didn't know Mall of America did that for
I'd say cool. Chick-fil-A does a lot more good than they do bad.
Good chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, we're pro Chick-fil-A.
Was that the wrapping up the news items?
Sophia didn't do it.
Okay. This is just a really quick thing that people didn't know.
Bring it home.
But so Kim Kardashian has recently started studying to become a lawyer.
Yes.
And she has helped free more than 17 people from prison.
By doing what?
Well, she's been help funding.
Yes.
She's gone to meet with the president to get drug offenders.
Yes.
First time drug offenders released from prison.
Yes, she's working with two lawyers. So I just thought that was interesting.
I'm still a little skeptical of how Kim Kardashian becomes a lawyer without attending law school.
Absolutely.
Here you go. She is.
She's
studying
school, about like 18 hours a week and to take the bar exam.
She's doing an apprenticeship. So you can study, which I think is just
that
not every state.
California.
Not every state has it, because I looked it up because I was like, this is a joke. Why are they allowing her to do this? I thought they made a special exception for her. And I was like,
no.
Okay, let's not do that. But yeah, it's like an apprenticeship, and I know California has it. I don't know about other
states.
She
will never pass the bar exam.
There I disagree.
It's in her blood.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
It is
don't
in her blood.
It's in her blood.
It's in her blood.
She's got to be smart if
her
she's...
Her dad.
Yeah.
There's not a shot in hell she can pass the bar exam.
All right, I bet otherwise.
But the 17 people that she freed, they were in prison for nonviolent drug offenses, if anyone was curious.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Well, I think that might be the future of guys that are in prison or in jail for minor drug offenses. I think to
Kim
free
Kardashian.
Up the jail, they not even Kim, but I think those guys are going to get some early exits just because
likely
they're so full of other stuff with bad guys.
The jails.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this segment of the Table Talk of the Rookies Family. What do you think? You were concerned about something?
Should I get through social media?
Yeah,
yep, please
do.
Matthew.
Facebook at The Podcast Family. Instagram at The Podcast Family. Twitter at The Podcast Fam. Shoot us an email, thepodcastfamily@gmail.com. Make sure to rate us and leave us a review on iTunes and tell every single person you know that we exist.
Should we grade Haley?
You did a decent job.
I think she did very well.
Yeah.
Very well.
Very
nice
well.
Job. Will you come back?
Yes.
You had a good article.
Yeah, very good. Wonderful. All right, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next time. Find us at all those social media places Matthew just mentioned. And don't forget about our sister podcast, the Garage Logic Podcast, when you're all caught up in the fame. We've got some back episodes of family podcasts, too. If you want to go back and listen to those, you certainly may do that. And if you are an aspiring sponsor, like General Mills and you want to take all the Lucky Charms,
Canterbury Park.
Let's talk. Canterbury, let's talk. See you next time.